Good morning. It's March 27th, and this is your daily brief in world news. Here's everything you need to know. In a tragic turn of events, a collision between the Singapore-flagged cargo ship, the Dolly, and the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore has led to a catastrophic collapse, sending shockwaves through the community and beyond. This incident has not only resulted in structural damage, but also in human casualties, with ongoing search and rescue efforts painting a grim picture of the aftermath. On Tuesday, the Dolly, operated by Synergy Marine Group, struck the bridge, causing significant portions to collapse into the Patapsco River. This disaster has led to at least two individuals being rescued from the water, eight victims identified, and six bridge workers, who were conducting repairs at the time, remain missing. These workers, men in their 30s and 40s with families, are at the center of an exhaustive search effort involving the Baltimore Fire Department, the U.S. Coast Guard, and other agencies, utilizing sonar and Coast Guard resources. The operation faces challenges due to the nighttime conditions and the depth of the river. In response to this catastrophe, a facility has been established to support the families of the victims, with mental health professionals on hand. Meanwhile, President Joe Biden has committed federal funds to rebuild the bridge, and Governor Wes Moore has declared a state of emergency in Maryland. The National Transportation Safety Board is leading an investigation into the crash, with the American Pilots Association noting the exceptional nature of such a power loss incident. Synergy Marine Group, while emphasizing their commitment to safety, has yet to make a formal statement regarding the incident. The collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge has not only disrupted the city's transport infrastructure, but has also significantly impacted the access of working-class communities to employment opportunities in the harbor's plants and distribution centers. This incident underscores the critical importance of safety and resilience in our infrastructure, affecting countless lives and the fabric of the community. In a significant turn of events for Julian Assange, the UK High Court has laid down a condition that could change the course of his extradition to the US. This ruling has sparked a fresh wave of discussions on the implications for press freedom and the rights of journalists worldwide. The UK High Court has made a conditional decision, effectively blocking Julian Assange's extradition to the US unless there are solid guarantees that he will not face the death penalty. This development comes as a partial victory for Assange, whose legal team has been granted the opportunity to appeal his extradition. The appeal hinges on the U.S. providing assurances regarding First Amendment protections and a guarantee against the death penalty by April 16th. As a result of this partial ruling, Assange will continue to be held in Belmarsh Prison, extending the lengthy legal battle over his fate. This decision underscores the complexity of the case and the significant legal hurdles still to be navigated. Assange's supporters have long argued that he is a journalist deserving of First Amendment protections, highlighting his role in exposing U.S. military misconduct. They see this latest court decision as a crucial moment in the fight for press freedom and the protection of journalists who hold governments accountable. The case has also drawn comparisons to other high-profile figures like Alexei Navalny, with discussions focusing on how powerful governments treat individuals who challenge them. The ongoing legal saga of Julian Assange not only raises questions about the limits of journalistic freedom, but also about the broader implications for press freedom and democracy itself. In a significant turn of events, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has called off peace talks with Hamas, following a UN Security Council resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in the Israel-Gaza conflict. This decision comes amid escalating violence and a notable shift in the diplomatic landscape, with the U.S. abstaining from a vote that would have backed Israel's stance, a move Hamas attributes to pressures on President Joe Biden from both domestic and international sources. The cancellation of the peace talks was swiftly followed by the scrapping of a high-level Israeli delegation's planned visit to Washington, underscoring the deepening rift between the U.S. and Israel. This marks a significant strain in the relationship between the two allies amid the ongoing conflict. The U.S., while abstaining from the vote, has voiced its support for a ceasefire and the release of hostages in Gaza, continuing to provide Israel with weapons for the war, albeit with the backdrop of growing concerns over the humanitarian situation. Israel's defense minister is currently in Washington, seeking to shore up U.S. support in light of the disagreements over Israel's military tactics, including the proposed ground offensive in Rafah. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin has expressed concerns about the high civilian death toll and the inadequate delivery of humanitarian aid in the Gaza Strip. As the conflict continues, with the IDF intensifying bombings in Gaza and targeting over 60 locations, the situation remains tense. Ceasefire negotiations in Qatar are not making significant progress, and the cancellation of the peace talks raises questions about potential shifts in U.S. policy towards the conflict. Amidst these developments, Israel's defense minister may push for expedited weapon shipments and discuss further U.S.-Israel cooperation to ensure Israel's military capabilities are maintained. This ongoing saga highlights the complex diplomatic and military dynamics at play in the Israel-Gaza conflict, with significant implications for regional stability and international relations. In a chilling turn of events, Russian President Vladimir Putin has confirmed that the recent devastating attack at the Crocus Concert Hall near Moscow, which led to nearly 140 deaths and 182 injuries, was the work of Muslim terrorists. This incident marks a significant moment, as it's the deadliest terrorist attack in Russia since 2004, bringing the nation and the world's attention to a tragic crescendo. The Islamic State stepped forward to claim responsibility for this heinous act, a claim that was further substantiated by Putin's identification of the assailants as radicalized Muslims. However, the narrative takes a complex turn as the Russian government points fingers at Ukraine and the West, suggesting their involvement despite a lack of evidence to support such claims. This move by the Kremlin appears to be an effort to deflect from the failure to prevent the attack and to consolidate support for the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. At the heart of this tragedy are the suspects, identified as nationals of Tajikistan, who have now been charged with terrorism. Reports have surfaced that two of the attackers had previously spent time in Turkey before making their way to Russia. Amidst the investigation, there have been allegations of torture against the suspects, adding a layer of controversy to an already complex situation. Additionally, ISIS-K has also laid claim to the attack, further muddying the waters. As the dust settles and the search for additional victims concludes, the tally stands with 11 suspects arrested, 8 of whom are in custody. This tragic event not only leaves a nation in mourning, but also raises pressing questions about security, international relations, and the lengths of radicalization. The aftermath of this attack continues to unfold, with the world watching closely. In a pivotal moment that could reshape abortion access and pharmaceutical regulation, the U.S. Supreme Court today delved into a case challenging the FDA's approval of the abortion pill mifepristone. At the heart of the dispute are anti-abortion groups and physicians who argue that the drug poses a danger to women and girls, a claim countered by the FDA with 2 decades of safety data. The FDA's approval of mifepristone has been under scrutiny, with the plaintiffs asserting that the drug is unsafe. The FDA, however, stands by its decision, citing extensive safety monitoring over the past 20 years as the foundation of its approval. This clash over the drug's safety and approval process has now reached the highest court in the land. As the Supreme Court hears oral arguments, 2 critical questions emerge. Do the challengers have the legal standing to sue? And was the FDA's approval process for mifepristone valid? These questions are not just legal technicalities. They are central to the case and its broader implications. The decision, expected to be announced in June, is poised to have far-reaching consequences. Depending on the outcome, there could be significant impacts on abortion rights, signaling a potential shift in how abortion access is regulated in the U.S. Furthermore, this case could set a precedent affecting the pharmaceutical industry, particularly how drugs are approved and challenged in the regulatory landscape. This has been your daily brief in world news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.